Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so if you guys missed the phone call from Kat in eastern Montana earlier in the week, she weighed in on several topics, and then she shared the audio from her phone call on the Montana Politics hashtag, which is always fun because then the folks who maybe missed it or who aren't smart enough to tune into the live conversation on the radio, at least they get the gist of what you had to say. And so, yeah, go to x.com/Aaron Flint. That's how you find me. Kat in eastern Montana is out there on X on a daily basis as well. But, you know, she called in and basically was going after the left. And some Republicans too, but basically, you know, she raised the question about these hospitals here in Montana, and raised the question: are these hospitals doing these so-called transgender procedures, gender affirming care, they call it, when they're actually not affirming the gender of the kid? They're actually trying to convince the kid that they're not the gender that they actually are. So you can't really call it gender affirming care. But anyway, that prompted me to send a note out to Benefice Hospital in Great Falls in particular, just to say, hey, is Benefice performing these types of procedures? Because you guys remember back in 2023, during that legislative session, the Republican supermajority in the legislature passed Senate Bill 99, which would ban this horrific transgender procedures on kids, where they chop body parts off of kids and then give them life-altering drugs and treatments that literally can't be reversed. I mean, it's just crazy, right? And so, you know, the Republicans passed Senate Bill 99, and the governor, of course, signed it into law. And then what happened? A far-left judge came in and blocked it. It's so crazy. Now, and that's what we're seeing across the board here, where you've got judges abusing their positions of power to push this radical agenda, even targeting kids by chopping off their body parts and more. So is it happening? Because that judge blocked the law, it could happen. Is it happening? So I reached out to Benefice, and the communications director said basically, no, it hasn't happened at Benefice, and it isn't happening. We don't even have anyone on our medical staff who has the credentials in order to do gender reassignment surgery on minors. She says, nor have we ever done this type of surgery on any minor. Now, the follow-up would be, though, is, would you like to? Is the hospital hoping to or planning to at some point? That's a follow-up question that I need to send to reach out to as well. But this is one more reason why, and I would say that, you know, as critical as we've been on some of the more moderate Republicans, on these issues, these are the issues that have united Republicans. It used to be that the social issues had divided Republicans, but Republicans would unite on the economic issues. These issues, Republicans and independents, I would say, and these are 80-20 issues, the people of Montana, the people of America, have stayed united on these types of social issues because the far left has gone so crazy targeting kids and more. But this is why the Supreme Court election next year and getting Judge Dan Wilson across the finish line is so important, if you ask me.
It's June 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Hot Air Balloon Day. It's the oldest form of flight technology used for carrying humans following the first manned flight in 1783. The heated air inside the envelope has a lower density than that of the cold air outside, causing it to rise. In 1981, first cases of AIDS are reported. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describing 5 cases of a rare form of pneumonia, a deadly immune deficiency disease, which later became known as AIDS.
Singing sensation all over the country. Elvis Presley.
In 1956, Elvis Presley first performs Hound Dog live on TV on the Milton Berle Show. Also on this day in 1883, the first Orient Express leaves Paris. The legendary train journey from Paris to Istanbul featured in many works of popular culture, including Bram Stoker's Dracula and Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox News Snapshot.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so a couple of good follow-ups there with benefits, or frankly, any of the hospitals in the state was, okay, even if you're not doing these radical surgical procedures, what about some of the hormone treatments and things like that? What about that stuff, right? That's another follow-up. But again, the governor and the legislature already passed a law barring this craziness from happening. And if it's happening, or if there's an intention for it to happen, if they have a desire to make money and profit off of doing this garbage to kids, it's all the more reason why we have got to focus on the Supreme Court elections here in Montana next year. A couple of messages coming in on the Montana Talks app. Felton in Deer Lodge says this: the liberal governor of Arizona just vetoed a bill that would have outlawed the Chinese from buying land in the state. Apparently, they have leased buildings around an Air Force base there. These people are crazy. Look, once again, this just shows how the Democrats are in the back pocket of the communist Chinese. They allowed 50,000 illegal aliens from China to flood into this country. And is it a surprise there that a Democrat governor of Arizona would veto something like that? Anyway, thanks to that listener in Deer Lodge for sending that message. Anna in Bozeman sent this message: Missoula made a pride flag, their official flag, to defy the law that prohibited government organizations from cutting groups of people against each other, making the pride flag the Missoulian official flag. Discriminates against every individual in the city who does not fit to the LGBTQ3S+ crowd, or whom this crowd does not like for whatever reason. Everyone affected should file lawsuits against the city and make the responses from the city officials and judges public. That's from Anna in Bozeman. By the way, I think she's on the phone lines right now. Anna, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. I am for other issue. It's about question for hospitals. I think that what you need to do is go to insurance companies and ask them, for instance, how many claims they get for breast reduction surgeries for boys. Because what is going on, then all this transgender industry, they explain girls as their boys. They tell them, and they tell them that they are boys, and their breasts are actually fat they need to remove. And then they claim the surgery is a boy's breast reduction surgery, which is not gender-affirming care. An insurance company has to investigate this issue, because it's, first of all, it's insurance fault.
Yeah, and then think about how much has your health insurance cost gone up, especially since Obamacare. But you know, you think about how much costs have gone up, and the more that your insurance company pays out for this type of stuff, it also raises your insurance costs, not to mention it causes lifelong, irreversible harm to these kids. Anna, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Next up, we've got Tim in Billings. Tim, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. So a little history, today in medical history, we'll call it that. So in 1935, there was a Portuguese doctor that developed a surgery that was heralded as being beneficial to these patients that had a certain ailment. And in fact, he won a Nobel Peace Prize for it in 1949. But in 1946, there was an American doctor, Dr. Walter Freeman, who modified the technique to where he never had to have a surgery room. He didn't have to have anesthesia. And so he made the procedure quicker. He made it less costly. He made it less clinical. And then he got with basically the equivalent of a 1940s RV, went around the country. Hundreds of thousands of people across the country had this procedure done. And we look back now at that procedure, and were horrified that it was allowed to happen. You know what that procedure was?
Was it
frontal lobotomy?
I was going to say lobotomy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Take an ice pick, put it through your eye socket, hit it with a hammer into the frontal lobe of your brain, and then swish it back and forth to scramble your brain. Well, that was heralded as the greatest scientific medical treatment of the day. That is how we're going to look at gender-affirming care in 20 and 30 years. We're going to look back, we're going to be horrified that these people were allowed to touch our children.
Yeah, well, we won't need to wait 20 or 30. We already get it. We already see it. So do the vast majority of the American people. It's just thems will get it maybe 20 or 30 years from now and say, what in the world were they thinking? No, great point, Tim. Yeah, in fact, I wanted to go back and look. What happened with this whole, you know, gender-affirming care? President Trump signed an executive order back in January protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation. But then, of course, what happens? A federal judge, this one in Seattle, issues an injunction against it to halt it. So basically, President Trump's executive order would block hospitals from doing these things to kids by threatening federal funding, and then a federal judge comes in and halts its enforcement for now. I think that's the latest on that case. Somebody correct me if I got that wrong. I went to Grok real fast just to do a quick summary. But, yeah, President Trump moved to block this. Governor Greg Gianforte and the Republican legislature almost unanimously, I think, voted for SB 99 to block this. But far-left judges and justices want this harm to be done to kids. That's how crazy these judges are. The same ones that are blocking Trump on securing our borders as well. All right, we got Chris in Billings next, and then Don Kay.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
An experience I had as a young economics student at the University of Michigan was my first introduction to the world of public policy debate. I was excited because a fellow student in the audience at a televised talk show was called on by the show host to ask a question, and I was anxious to see how the panelists would respond. But he was cut off. You're from Ann Arbor. We know what you're going to say. The notion that we can discount or ignore arguments and data from sources solely based on their names and affiliations is alive and well in debates today. In some parts of the federal government, that dismissal extends to anyone with expertise, especially economists. A new federal trade commissioner has called for new rules that explicitly disallows the use of economic evidence in making decisions. People who have studied trade policy their entire careers are told that their research on tariffs is wrong, and the Fed doesn't know what it's doing either. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
Just a week after leaving the Trump administration as a special government employee, Elon Musk continues to loom large in Washington.
He's not my cup of tea, to put it mildly, but Republicans are already listening to him. They're already listening to him.
Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer has been quoting Musk after the tech billionaire described the One Big Beautiful Bill as a disgusting abomination, warning lawmakers that vote for the measure will lose re-election and urging Congress to start over. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt has downplayed Musk's criticism.
The president already knows where Elon Musk stood on this bill. It doesn't change the president's opinion.
House Speaker Mike Johnson concedes he was surprised.
Look, I don't know what happened in 24 hours. Everybody can draw their own conclusions about that, okay?
Other Republicans suggest Musk, the CEO of Tesla, is opposed to his company losing electric vehicle tax credits. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here in just a second, we're going to check in with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, by the way, who has had such an incredible, successful tenure as chairman of the Montana GOP. Later this month, I know I'll actually be at the banquet, the Friday evening banquet. I think I get the honor of emceeing the Montana GOP convention, the Friday night banquet. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing so many friends from all across the state. That'll be in Helena here. Gollin, like a couple of weeks or so. And so looking forward to seeing Don Kay there. Now, the sad news is that Don Kay is stepping down as chairman of the GOP, so there'll be an election for a new chairman. But I know a lot of folks are going to be sad to see him go because he's just done such a great job, had such a successful tenure there. We're going to catch up with him here in a second as part of our monthly update. But first, let's go to Chris in Billings. Chris, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
I wanted to stick to Chuck Schumer. One of the things that really bothered him is there's finally somebody that's trying to make government accountable and to account for all the money. And that's what really bugs them. And the fact that it took an outsider and a non-politician to do this, that really bugs them. The other thing is if you gave him a lie detector, he would believe everything he says about Trump. About Trump being a liar, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I think Chuck knows he's just making stuff up right now. Remember, Chuck Schumer, the Democrat Senate minority leader, former majority leader, thankfully, thanks to Don Kaye, Tim Sheehy, Steve Daines, and the rest of the Montana crew, he's the former majority leader, now the minority leader. But remember, he was on, was it The Apprentice, which was the show, President Trump's NBC show back in the day? And Chuck Schumer was like singing the praises of Donald Trump back then and talking about how successful he was, especially at an early age. So what Chuck Schumer, though, had to say this week, though, has really got people saying this is like the oh for Pete's sake moment. Scott Jennings from CNN, you guys know Scott Jennings, he was with us on the show here recently. He says this: no one should ever, ever take these people seriously again, ever. And he was referring to this soundbite. This is Chuck Schumer describing the one big, beautiful bill.
And we all know one thing. Donald Trump is just lying about the bill. Lying about the bill. Well, here's the We Are All Going to Die Act.
Chuck Schumer calls it the We Are All Going to Die Act. Let's start there with Don Kaye, the chairman of the Montana GOP. Don, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here. Good morning, Montana. Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning. What's your reaction to Chuck Schumer calling the One Big Beautiful Bill the We Are All Going to Die Act?
Well, the bill is obviously a great bill for America, a great bill. You know, we have to compromise on some things. I'd like to see a little bit more cuts, obviously, on that. And I think most Montanans would. But overall, the bill is doing a great job. Schumer is Schumer. The Democrats continue, whatever Trump says, whatever any Republican says, the Democrats and the far left are going to move and chuck and jive and try to throw some holes in this or that. They can't ever even compromise anymore. And that's what I think the problem with government right now, especially at the highest levels, there's just no, you know, compromise and bringing people together. It's just a food fight all the time. Very, very sad. Schumer is a joke. We all know that.
Yeah, all you got to do is watch him release the video of him trying to cook a burger on a barbecue. He has no idea what he's even doing. I mean, they're so symbolic of how out of touch they were. Yeah, this one big, beautiful bill, Stephen Miller, he's just been on fire as usual. Well, when is he not on fire, frankly? I mean, you saw him at the GOP convention. What was that, last year, the year before? I was there with you guys. But he talked about how, you know, look, he says, I was on the campaign trail with President Trump all across America. At every rally, he promised to pass the tax cuts, fully secure the border, deport the illegals, dismantle the criminal gangs, unleash American energy, build the missile defense shield, reshore our manufacturing base, and enact no tax on tips, overtime, and Social Security. Thunderous applause, speech after speech. This is what he promised. This is what the one big, beautiful bill delivers. And then, yeah, and to your point, we all want to see more spending cuts, too. But that's what these rescissions packages and the appropriations process, that's where they got to deliver on next.
Exactly. And, you know, he's got permanent tax cuts in there. you know, to make, this bill aims to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. You've got new exemptions like no taxes on tips and also no overtime income. You know, temporary deductions proposes temporary increases to the standard child deductions, enhances write-offs for research and development and equipment purchases, Medicaid and SNAP, you know, implements historic reductions to federal Medicaid and supplemental that SNAP funding with new work requirements. He's got other cuts going on, you know, border wall funding. You know, let's not forget about that. He allocates $46 billion for the border wall construction. I think we can all get behind that. That's some spending, but it's got to be done. Student loan changes, environmental policies, enables more drilling and sales of more drilling on public lands and reversing the Biden conservation policy. So, you know, good bill.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if, did you hear what this Democrat representative out of Vermont had to say about illegal aliens? You know, first the Democrats were saying, who's going to pick our lettuce if we get rid of all the illegal aliens? And then a woke white liberal in Big Sky said, who's going to shovel our snow? Now this Democrat lawmaker out of Vermont said, she literally said, who is going to wipe our butts? But she used the other word. She literally said that there's going to be nobody to wipe our butts if we deport the illegal aliens. It's crazy.
It really is. If that's what they're looking at for illegal aliens, this is going back to the Israelites and Egyptian times. You know, you can't that slave. That's basically what they're talking about, is slave labor. That's not what we want in Montana. That's not what we want in the United States. We can take care of ourselves. We can pick the lettuce. We can implement machinery that can do things going forward. We just have to go back to work. You know, a lot of our younger people, my generation, we all worked on ranches and farms growing up here in Montana. We got to get back to those kinds of things. Manual labor is not a curse. That's something we need to go forward with. You know, we've got to do the jobs ourselves. Who's going to shovel our walks? Really? You know, how about shoveling your own damn walk?
Why do you live in Big Sky? So you can get outside and enjoy the outdoors. Get outside. Right? You know, give me a break. Or hey, maybe there's some, I mean, even in a wealthier neighborhood, there, like you pointed out, there is something that is gratifying about work and providing for yourself. There is, no matter whether you grew up in, you know, poor or wealthy or what, every kid needs to learn a work ethic. Pay some, you know, neighbor kid to shovel your walk, and you know what? You'll build better Americans in the process as well.
100%.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, are you looking forward to stepping down as chairman and getting a little more time to enjoy the great outdoors and things like that? I mean, what a record of accomplishment you've had. Because when did you first come on as chairman of the Montana GOP?
Well, I came on in 2019, Aaron, and was asked to help with the Danes campaign, which, of course, was a tough one with Governor Bullock, was a very formidable opponent in that. Of course, we did beat him by 10 points, but at the time we thought it was going to be a lot closer than that, and all the other statewides were up in 2020, so we got that accomplished. We were able to raise $5 million on that cycle. Then the next cycle in 2022, basically we only had Congressman Zinke. And all the other statewides were pretty much not there. I don't think we had the eastern seat at that time. So we raised about $2 million, and then of course the next cycle was the big one with Senator Sheehy going against former Senator Tester, and we were able to raise $25 million then. So during my tenure, we've raised like $32 million, which was a lot. And The next chair needs to be able to be a fundraiser.
Yeah, no, that's the key. You know, that's, I mean, yeah, before we kind of talk about the future of the Montana GOP, because I know there's some folks that are concerned. They're worried that that after you step down and given the divisiveness of this recent legislative session, they're worried that the wheels could totally come off depending on what happens with the chair elections. Now, I still think Republicans can win elections. It's just they might have to look to other groups other than the state party to provide the assist. But that being said, $32 million raised, and, you know, Montana just has a huge majority right now. Well, from your standpoint, what should it take to be the chairman of the Montana GOP? I mean, I'm sure people, they might just sit back and think, okay, you're kind of this symbolic figurehead who speaks out about party issues and things like that. There's obviously a lot of hard work that goes into it, a lot of, you know, crisscrossing the state, and you got to herd a lot of cats, but there's some perks to the job as well, you know, in terms of working at the national level with Team Trump and the RNC. So what's it been like? You know, give us some of the inside baseball about what it's like to be the chairman of a state political party, right? I'm hearing the music. So, Don Kay, hold that thought. We'll come right back to you right after this quick break. Time is flying by. But, yeah, we'll start there. And then what about the future of the GOP? You know, in the year 2000, Republicans practically won it all, only to start losing it a few years later.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Don Kay, we know about the work, the herding of the cats, the raising the money, the crisscrossing the state, basically for a volunteer or sometimes a voluntold position as being the chairman of the Montana GOP. But what are some of the perks? I mean, what's some of the fun things you've gotten to be a part of over the last several years?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a great experience. It's very difficult, like you said. There's a lot of tough parts of it and what have you. But, you know, working with the doers in the party has been probably one of my greatest, opportunities. Working with the Lola Galloways, the Debbie Churchills, the Danielle Bradleys, Spencer Merwin, my first ED, Tyler Newcomb is now our ED now, and all the work that they put into it is very, very rewarding. Then getting to meet President Trump and having conversations with him, and all the leaders, Chairman Whatley and Ronna McDaniel over the years, and some of the top leaders in the Republican Party in the country, to be able to rub shoulders with all the people across the states, especially the western states. I really enjoyed the folks there. We kind of had a kinship. Just being part of a movement, this MAGA movement to make America great again, has been very rewarding. I'll never forget, and it's been the experience of a lifetime. I'm really thankful that the voters allowed me to do this. You know, I was elected three times, but 6 years is enough. And we've accomplished our goals, and now it's time to move on to a new chair and new horizons.
You know, we saw everything that the Democrats did to this state when they were in charge during COVID-19, and then we saw what Joe Biden and John Tester did to this state, and then just how important these 2024 elections were alone. Guys like you and me and the people that listen to this show that got out there and are the workers of this state, you know, one day when we're sitting on our rocking chairs out there, you know, on the back porch or out in front of our campers on some campsite somewhere, we're going to look back and we're going to say, we stepped up, when our nation needed us, when our state needed us. And we won't be sitting there having regrets thinking, like, why didn't we do something? We know what we did and why we did it. And so, yeah, and you were a big part of that. Now, looking to the future, yeah, the state GOP having the convention coming up here later this month. I'm going to be honored to be the MC for the banquet on Friday night, so we'll look forward to seeing you there. And then Saturday, as I understand it, you know, on, what is it, the 29th, I'd have to pull up my calendar, that's when they're going to have the election for the next party chair. And there's a lot of people that are worried that the wheels could totally come off of the Republican Party, and they could just, you know, just spend the next couple of years just infighting, not raising money, and then basically being combat ineffective. I remember back in the 2000 elections, the GOP practically swept the statewide elections that year. We beat Brian Schweitzer in the Senate race. The only race we didn't win that year was the OPI race. And now Republicans have won that for a few election cycles now. And so, but then, of course, a few years later, the Republicans slowly started to lose it all. And so I think people are saying, hey, that could happen again if the GOP falls apart. What's your thoughts?
Well, I agree with that. We need somebody that can be a leader. We need somebody that can work with all different sides of the party, because we do have lots of factions. Anytime you have a majority, you're going to have different factions. We don't want to happen what happened in Alberta, for example, where the Conservative Party and the Wild Rose Party, which was more a further right part of the Conservative Party, broke apart, and then the Liberals got in, and they basically ruined Alberta. Now they came back together and got back in power, but the people I know from Alberta told me how much damage was done. So we don't want that to happen. We need to have a party chair that can be a unifier to the best you can. They're always going to be infighting. It's probably the toughest part of the job. But you have to be fair to all sides. That being said, what happened in this session has given credence to, hey, we need to purify the party. Well, that will hurt us electorally, I believe, because evidenced by what happened in Alberta. But we can't have people going roughshod and teaming up with Democrats either. So there needs to be a balance there.
Well, that's why I thought it was important when you spoke out and when the state party spoke out. I mean, when you had a handful of Republicans, particularly the 9 in the state Senate, continuously voting with the Democrats, undermining their leadership. Like, we all get it that not everybody's going to vote the way we want them to vote on every single issue. You're going to have, you know, Great Falls might have specific needs. Northeast Montana might have specific needs. They might feel one way about Medicaid expansion that differs from the way other people feel about Medicaid expansion. But when you consistently voted with the Democrats on spending hike after spending hike after spending hike, but more importantly, undermine your leadership, that's where you felt the call to really speak out. Now the question is, how do you deal with that electorally, right?
Exactly. So I think, again, it comes down to primaries. And I believe that I've always believed, and under my tenure, the party never got involved in primaries. We let that up to the other groups, and the people will make the decision, and then the party, whoever the nominee, will help them get elected, and that's what the party is there for. We have to, like you understand, Aaron, and our military friends out and that are listening now, is we have a mission, and our mission is to get Republicans elected. And a lot of, unfortunately, there's some folks in the party that don't understand that. They think that we're not going to support this guy or that guy because we don't agree, you know, 100% with them. And you're 100% right. It's not about the voting, because most Republicans vote, you know, pretty good. Like you said, there's different regions that have needs. But when you undermine the leadership, and when the Senate majority leader goes to the Senate minority leader to have talks, which happens all the time, and they're told that they have to go talk to somebody else that's not even a voted member, that's a problem. So yes, the leadership was undermined in the, especially in the Senate this last session, and we didn't end up as good as we could have. We still got a lot of good things through. There was a lot of great things that they did come together on. But, you know, they went too far. Unfortunately, probably the darkest day since I've been the chair has been when we had to censure those nine folks in the Senate elected, you know, senators.
Yeah.
That was very, very tough for us to do, and it was a dark day.
Well, I've said it to some of these folks, you know, that are, you know, some people are saying, well, these central committees and the state party, they need to go after these individual Republicans in the primaries. Well, I've seen where county central committees get involved in the primary election, and it doesn't change anything. When the Republican primary voters come out, they vote the opposite way that the central committee was telling them to vote. So is that the most effective means of your time and your money? Why not start a third-party organization? I mean, that's what the moderates have done. They start their own political action committee. They raise money, and then that's why they have the resources to send out the mailers and everything in the primary. So why don't the people who call themselves more conservatives do that? And the point being is that taking over the state party and causing a bunch of infighting in the state party, you may not get your desired outcome, and you may just destroy the party in the process.
Well, it's happened before, as you mentioned, and I hope it doesn't happen again. We've got four candidates running, you have Stacey Zinn. He's a very good leader, and you guys know her over there in Yellowstone County. We have Troy Miller, out of Gallatin County, an excellent fundraiser. We have Art Wittick, who has done a great job. You know, he was my committee man for quite a while, and he knows how the party works. He understands the whole setup and would be a great leader as well. And then Tanner Smith, who wants to, purify the party, and unfortunately, I have some very big concerns that he'll be able to raise any money for the party because the checkbooks will probably close. So we've got him running as well. So it's going to depend basically on what the party wants to do. You know, the voters, the central committees, and the legislators. And I would urge them all to show up and to vote their conscience. And whoever they choose, whether it be any of the four that I mentioned, and there may be another one that jumps in that I don't know about, but those are the four that's indicated that they wanted to run. Any of them, we need to get behind and support them.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, very interesting to hear the specific names that are being thrown out there. All right, hold that thought. Quick break. Back with Don Kay right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Karine Jean-Pierre apparently has written a book, and she served as the White House press secretary under Biden. He said she left the Democratic Party. Fox News alert. Anyway, Ms. Jean-Pierre said she's now part of the growing fractured electorate that is independent. Do you think she's ever voting for a Republican? No. Her book, entitled Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House Outside the Party Lines, blasting the Democratic Party for betraying Joe Biden. Jean-Pierre didn't come to her decision to be an independent lightly. A short preview of the book reveals he takes us through the 3 weeks that led to Biden's abandoning his bid for a second term and the betrayal by the Democratic Party that led to the decision. That's called a hook to sell a book.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pollino. Old Dominion drops their new album, Barbara, August 22nd. The 13-track album includes the singles Mimos Nights and Making Good Time, along with songs like Talk Country and What Doesn't Kill Memory. Barbara follows their 2023 album Memory Lane, but it's the band's most personal record yet, with songs that explore the light and dark sides of life while embracing a more mature, introspective sound. The album is not named after a real woman, but an imagined composite of a person who embodies many of the group's various personality traits. Show me color. CMA Fest is coming to television with a new host later this month. Ashley McBride will return to recap the four-day concert series happening this weekend in Nashville. But this year, she will be joined by Cody Johnson. It's Johnson's first time hosting CMA Fest on TV or any televised country music event. The event will air on ABC June 26th. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Fox Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, real quick, before we get back to Don Kay here with just a quick few minutes left of this show, how many of you have lived in Montana your whole life or almost your entire life, and you still haven't seen it all? You still haven't seen all of Montana? Well, we have a really cool tourism package that you've got the opportunity to win. We're doing a radio giveaway here. So for the next several weeks, we're going to highlight a different tourism region here in Montana. This week, we're highlighting Indian Country. How many of you still haven't seen all there is to see, all the museums, all the cultural sites, all the incredible terrain and people? Well, I'll tell you what, this is an opportunity not just to tour Indian Country, but to really get a real Montana tour, right? To get a unique experience. This is a Sun Tours guided tour for four people. And it's led by, of course, Sun Tours, which is a Blackfeet-owned and operated local family business, one of the only tribal national park concessionaires in the entire country. But, yeah, just a little trivia for you here. There's 28 national historic landmarks across Montana, 11 of which are connected to our rich Native American culture and history and experiences, et cetera. Here's how you get a chance to win. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. All right, back to it here with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. Don, what else do you want to share with our listeners before we run out of time here?
Well, I also want to put a shout out to all our elected officials throughout the state, you know, starting with, Steve Daines, Kim Sheehy, Brian Zinke, Troy Downing, Governor Gianforte, and all the statewide, Austin Knutson, right on down the line, Susie and Christy and Jim Brown. And, you know, these guys really work hard for you. You may not agree with everything they do. Of course you don't. But they do a damn good job. And I'm really grateful to be able to have worked with them as well, you know, and helping them get elected, as well as all the legislators, the House members and the Senate members here in the state, you know, and everybody that works there for the different on the first floor and the second floor, et cetera, third floor, and, you know, in the state capitol. So, and it was great to see that process and learn how that all works. And, you know, all of those folks that go up there are trying to do the best that they can. Again, we don't agree with everything they do all the time, but they don't agree with everything we do all the time either. So I'm grateful for their effort, that they would take time out of their lives to go and serve Montana, you know, take time away from their businesses and their families and go up there for, you know, 4 months and do the work of the people every other year and all the work that they do, you know, going forward. So we owe them all a debt of gratitude, as well as the Democrats that go up there. God bless them, even though they're misguided. I really appreciate their service as well.
Well, I was going to say, you know, with the Democrats, they are just doubling down on crazy. They're the gift that keeps on giving to the Montana GOP, because despite some of the hurt feelings and the divisiveness of the last legislative session, the Democrats have doubled down on crazy so much that they just may bail the Republicans out yet again on that front. Don Kay, it's been great to have you on. I know I'll see you soon in Helena. I just got a message on the Montana Talks app from Lee Ettinger in Big Fork. He's a, like you, he's a Marine Corps veteran, and he's got that Power Plus pain aid that people have heard me talk about. He says, love Don Kay. Sorry to see him stepping down, but I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of you even still, Don. So appreciate all your time. Thanks so much for joining us and taking phone calls from listeners over all these years as well.
You bet. God bless you all, and thank you for the opportunity to serve. And thank you, Aaron, for all that you do for our state and for our cause.
All right, Don, great to have you on the show. We'll have some open phones time a little later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But first, big news, very big news for an incredible Montana gun business. Wait till you hear about this. News out of the U.S. Army coming up next. Lots to come. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
An experience I had as a young economics student at the University of Michigan was my first introduction to the world of public policy debate. I was excited because a fellow student in the audience at a televised talk show was called on by the show host to ask a question, and I was anxious to see how the panelists would respond. But he was cut off. You're from Ann Arbor. We know what you're going to say. The notion that we can discount or ignore arguments and data from sources solely based on their names and affiliations is alive and well in debates today. In some parts of the federal government, that dismissal extends to anyone with expertise, especially economists. A new federal trade commissioner has called for new rules that explicitly disallows the use of economic evidence in making decisions. People who have studied trade policy their entire careers are told that their research on tariffs is wrong, and the Fed doesn't know what it's doing either. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.